You have your Bibles today, if you would turn to Titus chapter 2. And again, I would like to say happy Mother's Day. It's a privilege to be able to celebrate Mother's Day with you. Today we want to talk about the role of the role that the mother plays within the context of a home. And without question, the work of a mom is incredibly difficult, and some days are better than others. You know, over the last few weeks, I recently came across a couple of posts on social media talking about the work that a mother does. One mom said, "Parenting is 50% shouting, 'I'm not going to say it again,' and 50% saying it again." Another mom said, "Having kids is, said being a mom is kids banging on the bathroom door like a SWAT team, asking for a drink while you are in the shower and dad is in the kitchen." I can relate to that one a little bit. And one of my favorite posts was a mom said, "You better get over here and clean up this mess, or I swear I will passive aggressively sigh and pick it up myself." Sometimes it's just easier to do it yourself, isn't it? You know, parenting is hard work. Being a mother is hard work. But there's one thing that I have noticed over the last 10 to 15 years is how the work of a mom has been perceived and how it has shifted over those years. Because we're in what some people call the mom wars, where certain moms have their own convictions and they're warring with other moms who have their own convictions. And there has been career moms with career moms who have a job outside the home are warring with moms who have chosen to stay at home. And all of this actually comes back to identity and how moms see and value themselves. And we've actually seen some pretty extreme examples of this in our culture over the past few years. About 10 years ago, a lady by the name of Linda Hirschman went on Good Morning America and talked about the dynamic between moms who find themselves in a career outside the home and moms who chose to stay at home. She said, "Homemakers are living lesser lives." She went on to say, after the host said, "But many of these moms find this work meaningful and impactful." She went on to say, "I would like to see a description of their daily lives that substantiates that. It doesn't sound particularly interesting for an educated person. I think it is a mistake for these highly educated and capable women to make that choice to stay at home. I am saying that an educated, competent adult's place is in the office." Now, without question, this philosophy is increasing in our culture, and it has created what we term the mom wars. And it was what it's done, and it has created a confusion on how we define motherhood. A question of, can a mom who works outside the home really accomplish God's design for motherhood in the home? Can a mom who stays at home with her children, does that mom have the same kind of value and significance as the mom who is working outside the home? See, the mom wars have created a lot of questions today. And so my goal here today is to address this contention with God's Word, because I believe as we look at the role of parents inside of a home, we shouldn't look to our culture for the answers, but instead we should look to God's Word for the answer. We need the truth of God in this cultural debate. And I actually believe women like Linda Hirschman believe what they're doing is empowering women, but in the end they are not. Because this philosophy tells you as a mom that happiness and fulfillment comes from self-actualization. That happiness and fulfillment in your life comes from you doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. Of centering your life upon yourself as instead of centering your life around who you are as a wife or a mother. And so you discard anything else that comes in the way or gets in the way of you accomplishing your own desires. And so they think that they're empowering you to do what you want to do as a woman. But where this philosophy leads is for women to see their children as inconveniences instead of as blessing and rewards. is if you get pregnant at a time where you don't want a child, or you're not in the career stage where you want to bring a child into the world, then all you do is terminate the pregnancy. See, this is the prevailing view about motherhood that suggests that self-actualization is the way to happiness and fulfillment. But what this does is it leads us to more to using people instead of loving people. Because those who have this philosophy, meaningful relationships are difficult to come by and maintain, because you only befriend someone because you have an ulterior motive, something you want to use them for, instead of benefiting just from having a relationship. So I would argue this morning that God has a different design for family. I'm going to argue today that happiness and holiness in the home is foundational for happiness and holiness in life. Now just think about that for a moment. Culturally, we are told that the only way that you can be happy, the only way you can find your identity, is with who we are in our career. It's with who, with what we have made of ourselves. It's about reaching the top of the corporate ladder. But God's design does not start with a career. God's design does not start with the status that we have. It does not start with a standard of living. But God's design starts with the family. And the family is foundational for our happiness and holiness. And when we get that right, and we have happiness in the home, it positions us to live on the firm foundation of God's design that will reverberate happiness and holiness throughout the rest of our lives. In other words, it's very difficult to be happy and fulfilled if things at home are an absolute disaster. It doesn't matter how much money you make. If your world is falling apart at home, all the money in the world will not comfort you. It doesn't matter the title that you bear. If your home life is collapsing all around you, that title will not be enough to get you through the day. What I'm saying is, it is not a career, it is not a title that is the basis of our identity. It's relationships in terms of husband and wife and children, the home, that is the foundation of our happiness and fulfillment, and puts us on the foundation of to experience those things in every other area of our life. So this morning I want to look at Titus chapter 2 that speaks here about the uniqueness of motherhood. And let me just go ahead and say, this might be one of the most controversial teachings I've ever preached on here from the pulpit here, because this goes against the grain of our culture. Look with me, though, in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. So there's this mentoring idea there of the older women helping the younger ladies, teaching them what it looks like to be a godly woman. And then verse 4, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. And so there we see the fact of God's design for wives and mothers, focusing on the home. And there is one of the most controversial phrases in all of the Bible. But again, we need to understand that happiness and holiness are the foundation, and that starts at home. And let me just clear up a few misunderstandings and a few questions that you might already be asking. I am not in any way saying that a wife or a mother who works outside the home, that it is wrong, that it is sinful, that it's immoral. I am not saying to you today that if you work outside the home as a mother that you are sinful. What I am saying is that the primary concern is that we don't build the home around a career. But during that season of life that we have our children with us, that we ensure that our children are raised in a home where we are active, where we are engaged, where we are doing all that is required to shape the hearts and lives of the children. The concern here is not whether you work inside or outside the home. The concern here is whether you see happiness and holiness inside the home as foundational. That is the key. Because God's design here is that we start in the home in terms of our engagement for fulfillment, for joy, and for happiness. And we see this throughout all Scripture. Because we see there are leaders who are women and who are leaders and working outside the home. So that's not the point of Titus 2. It's that moms see that their role is unique and particular, that their role is beautiful inside the home, and that that role is irreplaceable. So therefore, when we switch our philosophy of life to where it is built around a career, our ambitions, our income level, a status, what happens is we begin to deviate from God's design, because the family should be the foundation of our lives in terms of human relationships. And so whether you choose to work at outside the home or stay at home, here's what you always have to deal with. We have to deal with this pressure for more, more, more. So maybe we're going to sacrifice attention to our children, or we sacrifice our time with our kids and with our family, because we're willing to sacrifice a lot upon the altar of success, because we would rather live in the rat race of getting more and more, because we have been led to believe that having more things is the answer to happiness, and that what is most often sacrificed upon this altar is time with our family. So again, I say whether you work inside or outside the home is not the point. The point is to understand the blessing of motherhood as a privilege, the blessing of raising children as a privilege, the blessing of being a wife and mother who is engaged in the home and sees the fruit of all of your hard work in raising your children. And so in order to combat some of these philosophies that we have in our culture today, I want to give you three takeaways that are consistent with God's design for the family. And the first is this: children are a blessing from God. Culturally, we are taught that someone else can raise your kids. But here's what I've learned. There are a whole lot of people who can teach my children. There are a whole lot of people who can influence my children. But there is only one man who can be a father to my children, and that is me. And mothers, there's only one woman on this planet who can be mom to your children, and that is you. And so you should embrace that and appreciate that. Psalm 127, 3 through 4 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth." Children are a reward. Now, are there times that children are an aggravation? Absolutely. For those of you who might have younger children here today, let me phrase that differently. Are there times that your children will actually be a blessing? Yes, they will. When they're younger, they tend to be more of an aggravation, it seems, but they're also still a blessing. Because children are the reward through marriage and pregnancy. They are a reward, a blessing from God. And let's be honest, they're an expensive blessing. I've been warned, you know, I've talked about how I'm going to get pay raises when my kids go to school and all this, because I'm not having to pay for childcare or anything like that, but everybody's already told me, they only get more expensive as they get older. You might think those Pampers are expensive. You might think those clothes that you have to buy because your children are growing so fast are expensive. But just wait till they get older. Wait till they start driving, I've been told. Wait till they have to go get those prom dresses, I've been told. You know, if you're looking to get into any business, just go into selling prom dresses. Have you saw how much those cost? It's outrageous. So, you know, you just think, you know, how much those things cost. It is just outrageous, all of this, because just think about how much it costs to get car insurance for a 16-year-old boy with absolutely no brain. Kids are expensive, but they are a blessing. They can be aggravating, yes, when they're knocking on the door after you just stepped into the shower. Mom, Mom, Dad, Dad. But children are a reward. They are a positive consequence of pregnancy. And that's why we as a church should celebrate this. That's why as a women's ministry, we have a women's ministry that comes together with women of all ages so that you have women there who have been battle tested and came out the other side just fine, who can help encourage the younger moms and the younger ladies, who can help mentor them and tell them what it looks like and means to be a godly wife, a godly mother, a godly woman. That's why we partner with New Hope Pregnancy Center and we fill those baby bottles with all of our loose change, because they are equipping and training women who feel that they don't have the answers for what it looks like to be a mom. That's why we want children here in our church, even those rowdy ones who might cause distractions, because we see children as a reward through all the ups and downs, through all the ins and outs. Children are a reward. And so we can't get caught up in these cultural trends that lead us to believe that as a father or as a mother, that our greatest fulfillment is going to be a career-minded person with a certain income level or with a certain status. No, the greatest blessing of life in terms of our human relationships is not a status. It is not a standard of living, but it is being part of a family and having little ones call you mom or dad. And this is God's design for us. This is the foundation of our culture. Children are a reward, even in those days that it seems they are just crazy. All the ups and downs, all the laughing and all the crying. We have to remember that children are a blessing from the Lord. And I'm a firm believer that the greatest title that you can have in this world is mom or dad. Children are not a burden. Children are not a problem. Children are not inconveniences. They are a blessing. They are a reward. Secondly, therefore, parenting is therefore a privilege and a responsibility that requires sacrifice. There's no way around this. This is where the modern philosophy of self-actualization begins to fall apart, because if you are a good parent, you cannot be selfish. You just can't. I wish I had a way to be a parent and still accomplish all the things that I want to do, but I don't know how. I wish I could tell you moms here today that there's a way that you can have everything you want in life and still be a good and great mom, but I don't know the answer to that. Because if we see children as a blessing from God, then if we see them as a reward, then what we come to understand of the example of Jesus is that he did not come to serve himself. He wasn't looking to lift himself up, but he came and lived out a life of service. And as a parent, you're going to be doing a lot of serving. You're going to be letting your own wants and your own desires go so that you can serve at your children. And another challenge about parenting is that it is a work of delayed gratification. You really won't see the results of your parenting until years down the road. And so parenting is hard work. It takes sacrifice. It takes service in order to do it well. And that is why, moms, I want to press back against the current philosophy in our culture that says the key to your life is self-actualization. That all you need to do is just shelve your responsibility as a mother. Don't pay attention to what is happening at home. And then you will have the joy and fulfillment, because then you will reach a certain standard of living and have a certain status. But let me tell you that that is just a trap. It will not bring all that it promises. Because listen, day after day after day, our Savior found joy in serving others, and there is no more significant place than serving in home, in the home. And those of us with children understand there is a lot of service that is required. There are a lot of days when you set aside all that you want to do, when we set aside our selfish ambition as a parent, and we set aside our own goals and our own aspirations. And why do we do that as parents? Because we understand we only have one shot at this thing. I understand that I have only this one season where I am going to be a dad like I am now. I'm not going to get another chance. There are a lot of things that I wish I could do right now that I would love to do, but I'm not going to. Maybe I will do it another time, but right now I have three little kids at home, so I understand I can't do all of those things. Author Peter Kreft, a very successful author, was once asked, "What was the favorite book that you ever wrote?" And he responded by saying, "The one that I did not write while my children were young." And that is absolutely true. Because, see, I made a commitment early on that I was not going to live my life during the years when my children were at home with regret. That I did not want to have to look back on their lives regretting having missed milestones in their life. So today I travel less than I really could. I'm involved in fewer things than I could be. I don't have as much expendable income as I wished, because you have to buy things like clothes and food, because you know kids eat a lot. But I'm willing to do that for my kids. Because if we truly believe children are a reward, that they are a blessing from God, that then we can't buy into this self-actualization stuff in our culture and think that somehow we can accomplish God's design while delegating much of what happens in the home without us being involved in the home at all. So moms, I want to encourage you, when you get to that point where you're driving your kids off to college or your husband is walking your girls down the aisle, I don't want you to have to say, "Well, I missed a lot of moments in their life, but I sure provided a nice house for them," and let that be enough for you. Because let me tell you, at that time, it will not be enough. And so whether you're a stay-at-home mom or whether you're working outside the home, I hope this encourages you. I'm just saying in all of this that the home has to be primary. In our lives, we cannot sacrifice what is happening at home. Happiness and holiness in the home is the foundation to happiness and holiness in life. And if children are a blessing from God, then it will take service and it will take sacrifice to raise them in a way that honors the Lord and bends their heart towards Jesus. Because Jesus lived a life not of self-actualization, but he lived a life of service and a life of sacrifice. But I fear that many in our culture have bought into the self-actualization philosophy, and we don't see our kids as a blessing and reward. And we don't do what we should to be all in the home. And thirdly, we see that motherhood has unique impact and blessing in the home. Now, all these other points can relate to both fathers and mothers, and it's things that we all have to deal with as parents. But I want to think specifically on motherhood now. Motherhood has a unique impact and blessing in the home that can't be replaced. And mothers, I want to thank you for that. There is something you bring to the date table that dads cannot, and the Lord is honored in this. There's an example of this in the life of Timothy in Scripture. Timothy was raised in a home where his father was not a believer, but his mother was. And later on, Paul is encouraging Timothy, and he tells him in 2 Timothy about how he is reminded of Timothy's sincere faith. But do you want to know where Timothy got that faith from? From his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. The most important thing in their life came from his mother and his grandmother. My point here is, moms, it is through the influence of Timothy's grandmother and mother that brought Timothy to faith in Christ, and his eternity was changed. That is a great example of the role of a mother and the influence a mother can have. And we see countless examples of this throughout Scripture and throughout history. There is something unique and something special about the activity and engagement of a mother. Moms, you cannot be replaced. And this is God's design. And that is why your fulfillment in life, your happiness in life, is going to be somewhat tied to your role as a mother. And so if one status or one standard of living were the key to a child's happiness, then wouldn't every celebrity's children be the most happiest and most fulfilled children on earth? But let me tell you, I don't see Miley Cyrus as a poster child for what a young, happy, fulfilled child ought to be. No disrespect for Miley. If status and standard of living are the true keys to happiness, then wealth would be the determining factor if your children are happy, and you know that this is not true. And so, moms, I hope that you will embrace joyfully the privileged role that you have. God's design is that you bring something to the table that cannot be replaced. That's why Titus says to be engaged in the home. Not that you shouldn't work outside the home, but that you should be engaged in the home and not view the family as a hurdle or an obstacle to overcome. And so I hope today that you will give serious consideration to this, and that it will bring to what will bring true happiness in your life, and that is dwelling in God's design and affirming the gifts and benefits of motherhood so many of you possess. I say what I do today to encourage you, to affirm you, to remind you that you are unique, moms, that you are special, that you bring something to the table that no one else does. And if you will take your cues from God's design, even through all the challenges of parenting, through all the challenges of raising toddlers and teenagers, you will find joy and fulfillment knowing that you are carrying out God's design, and you will have a foundation that will sustain you in the good times and in the bad. Because you are the key influencer in the lives of your children. And although it may be difficult to see in the daily grind, you are the key influencer. So I hope that you will consider God's design. I hope that you will see your children as being a reward and blessing. And I hope that you will not deal with the identity issues that are swirling out there in our culture that many women are dealing with. The constant bombardment of status and success. No, take your identity from this, that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you and created you in His image. He loves you more than you will ever know. He sent His Son to die for you in your sin so that you can have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. He will save you from your sin, and through His Holy Spirit, He will guide you, comfort you, sustain you, and dwell in you. In God's design, through God's design, you will have a firm foundation in which to live and raise your children. And I hope that this will encourage you greatly today. And I've got a video here I want to show you in just a moment that I believe expresses this more than anything else. Many of you might not know this guy, but Kevin Durant, one of the greatest basketball players that is playing right now, a few years ago, he received the MVP award, the Most Valuable Player award. He was said to be the best player during that year. And when he was receiving the reward that day, he gave a speech, and I want you to listen to what he says here.
One of the best memories I had is when we moved into our first apartment. No bed, no furniture, and we just all sat in the living room and just hugged each other. Because we thought we made it. And when something good happens to you, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to look back to what brought me here. You wake me up in the middle of the night in the summer times, making me run up a hill, making me do push-ups, screaming at me from the sideline of my games at 8 or 9 years old. We wasn't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street, put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP.
Moms, don't take your cue from our culture today. God loves you. He has made you in His image. Christ died for you. His Spirit dwells in you, and you have all you need to make a difference in the lives of your children. Don't let anything come between you and that. Because when it comes to your home, when it comes to your role, when it comes to all that you provide, you are the MVP. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for how you have even made the family. How you have made the family as the foundation of our culture, the foundation of our society. And Father, although our culture begins to say, it is not about the family, it is not about one's role as a husband and wife, it is not about one's role as a mom or a dad, that our answer to happiness, our answer to finding our identity is in our career, is in our standard of living, is in how much money we make, is in how much we have. But Father, we know that is not how you have designed us to live. You have designed us to find our happiness and our identity within our family. And so Father, here today, I am thankful for the moms. I'm thankful for the grandmothers. I'm thankful for those parents who are here today and who have invested in their families. I have seen so many generations that have been impacted through the life and the role of a mom or a grandmother. Father, I'm thankful that we are blessed as a church to have so many godly ladies here today. Father, I pray that you would continue to build them up, to encourage them, to see the importance of their role, and that not just as moms, but as dads, we would all make our homes our priority. We would make our relationships with our spouse a priority. We would make our relationship with our kids a priority. We would make our relationships with our grandchildren a priority, so that we can be influencers in their lives, so that we can impact them in a way that honors and glorifies you. And so that, like Timothy, for example, we would have moms and grandmothers and dads who would be the key influencer in leading the next generation to Christ. Father, we thank you that you have made us in your image, that you have loved us by sending your Son to die on the cross so that we can have forgiveness of our sins through him. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.